Hey, everybody. I'm Scott Story. Welcome to my podcast, Despite the Limits. After more than 30 years of serving in Army Special Operations units, first in the 75th Ranger Regiment, then as a Green Beret, and finally in the Civil Affairs Regiment, I decided to retire. And I quickly learned that change was hard. But more importantly, I realized that I wasn't done helping leaders grow. So I created this podcast to allow us to walk this journey together. After all, journeys are better when someone travels along with you. My intent for this podcast is to help you navigate your own growth through leadership development and realize that you can succeed despite the limits. So let's go. Welcome to another episode of Despite the Limits. We're going to have a little different focus today because I want to talk about... I need to talk about a pretty serious topic. It's something that has been coming up more frequently in my conversations lately. And so as a result, I want to spend some time talking about our nation's ongoing problem of veteran suicide. You know, there's a meme that's been popping into my social media feeds from time to time over the years, and it's in different variations, but it's a picture of some kind of an operator, usually in full kit with night vision, and I mean, sometimes it's a soldier, sometimes it's a Navy SEAL, or some other Special Operations Forces operator standing at the ready. They're usually standing against a night sky, and superimposed on the background are these words. A man fires a rifle for many years, and he goes to war. Afterwards, he turns in the rifle into the armory, and he believes he is finished with the rifle. But no matter what else he might do with his hands, love a woman, build a house, change his son's diaper, his hands remember the rifle and the power the rifle proffered. These words, written by Anthony Swofford, are lifted from his New York Times best-selling memoir, Jarhead. I find it interesting that Swofford's book about his experiences as a Marine during the first Gulf War in 1990 are the words frequently selected to describe a feeling that many of our recent veterans feel today. Honestly, these words have resonated with me from time to time over the years. As a retired 33-year veteran of the United States Army, I find the idea portrayed in these words ring true. And even though I was primarily a planner for the bulk of my career, not a day goes by that I don't think of the rifle and the countless hours of effort exerted to become proficient with it, or about the men and the women who I had the responsibility to care for while they were in harm's way. Look, I know it sounds strange, but I'm not alone. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, as of 2022, there is an estimated 16.2 million veterans in the United States. I have a consuming interest in the well-being of this group, not just because I am one, but because each one is a unique person of value. Veterans are an interesting group. When we separate from the service, there is this almost initial euphoric feeling of freedom. And there's this stereotype image of men, former soldiers who have let their hair grow a little longer and grown a beard, maybe even gained a little weight. Hey, if you're a Marvel Universe fan, I want you to think about Thor. But don't think Thor from the Thor movie or the Avengers movie, but rather Thor from Avengers Endgame. You Marvel fans know where I'm going here. Pizza eating, beer drinking, video playing, hiding out on an island Thor. And you get the picture of this stereotype. Now, personally, I hate this stereotype because it's more a caricature than anything else. But I also realizing that stereotyping is an ingrained human tendency. Our brains categorize everything. I mean, considering that we are constantly flooded with countless stimuli, it's no wonder that our brains try to sort things in a fashion that frees up resources to do other tasks. In short, stereotyping is a basic cognitive need to categorize, simplify, and process a complex world. They have their place for us. It is stereotypes that keep us from asking a toddler for directions, and they cause us to speak a little louder in the presence of someone elderly. But they also tend to overgeneralize and are far from accurate. The veteran population is diverse, and the Fat Thor stereotype fails to paint a complete picture. For instance, it excludes women, which make up about 10% of our current veteran population. That's 1.7 million. not an insignificant number, and it's growing. Our veterans are not a homogenous group. They are incredibly diverse, but I think we all have something in common. More often than not, these men and women begin to miss, maybe even long for what they experienced in the service, even in wartime service. And that feeling, it's hard to express, and it's even harder for those outside of the veteran circle to understand. Sadly, many veterans perceive their only option to cope with this is to take their own life. Now, you've probably heard the statistic that 22 veterans a day commit suicide. It's become a catchphrase for a movement aimed at combating suicide among our veterans. You may recall just a few years ago, there was a social media challenge to do 22 push-ups a day for 22 days in order to raise awareness of veteran and soldier suicide. I personally know a non-commissioned officer in the Army who, at the time I'm recording this podcast, is on an unbroken streak of 1,182 days. And I'll get back to that in a moment, but let's review the data that birthed these awareness efforts. You see, it came from a VA suicide data report that was published in 2012. It analyzed the death certificates of 21 states from 1999 to 2011. And while it's often cited, it is rarely used in the right context. Chances are that when I quoted this statistic, your mind jumped to the fat, Thor bearded stereotype I mentioned earlier. And why is that? Well, I believe it's our efforts to better understand the impact of post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, that has created the idea that most of the veterans who commit suicide are suffering because they just can't get over the horrors of war. It is also true that 50% of the veterans drawing disability benefits are compensated for PTSD. And we'll talk about that deeper in a minute, too. But when you look at the 22-a-day statistic closer, you will find that the average age of the veteran committing suicide was 60 years old. And they were primarily Vietnam veterans, which are well removed from the proximity of their trauma by decades. Another surprising thing is that there was absolutely no correlation between those that deployed and those that didn't. Whether or not a veteran saw combat simply wasn't a factor in suicide either. Now, oddly enough, veterans who have experienced war often have a longing to return to it. How can this be? War is bad, and no one enjoys its destruction and the toll on human life. But there is something else about it, too. Something that inspires strong human virtues like courage, loyalty, and selflessness. And these feelings are intense when you are in constant danger, and it can be downright intoxicating to those who experience them. In all its horror, war can make people noble in as much as it debases them. And when you spend time speaking with veterans about it, what is it they miss? It isn't the destruction or the chaos, but rather it's something else. And what about those who didn't deploy, or if they did deploy, they didn't see combat? Frankly, only about 10% of the force actively engages in combat, and the rest support in some other way. But nevertheless, life in military service can be arduous, and adversity often leads people to depend more on one another, and it's this closeness that produces sort of a nostalgia for the hard times. They don't miss danger or loss or struggle, but rather they miss the days of extreme brotherhood and the unity that the danger or the loss brought with it. Now, a deployed unit can be a microcosm of society with all races, socioeconomic statuses, and today even genders being represented. And it can be individuals that don't necessarily like one another, but they do respect one another, and they absolutely rely on each other to stay alive. Now, they may hurl insults at each other inside the group, but they will never tolerate an insult of one from outside the group. And what they miss is the brotherhood, the camaraderie, the sense of belonging. This close-knit feeling is something that many veterans spend a lifetime trying to reestablish. You may recall I said that less than 10% of the force actively engages in combat. However, the disability rate for PTSD from separating service members is 50%. In his TED Talk from 2015, war correspondent and author Sebastian Younger asks about the phantom 40%. Those veterans who didn't directly experience active combat engagement, but they experience very real trauma symptoms. What is happening to them? The real issue doesn't appear to be trauma, but rather an inability to reintegrate into the fabric of society. And unfortunately, our society is increasingly tearing itself apart at the seams. So many vets are left asking, what did I actually fight for? The VA now publishes an annual report on veteran suicide, and the 22-a-day estimate has reduced. 2 years ago, I thought this was encouraging news because the number was in the upper teens, which seemed to be a positive trend in the right direction. But the 2023 report reveals that the number is back on an upward trend. Veterans continue struggling to reintegrate into a society they are not sure they fit in, and too many are choosing suicide as their only option. This needs to change. Now, earlier I told you of an NCO who has a 1,182-day, 22-a-day push-up streak for soldier suicide awareness. She was a medical supply NCO in my headquarters when I was a brigade commander, but today she's an Air Defense Artillery Battery First Sergeant in Korea, and I'm immensely proud of her. Not because she does 22 push-ups a day, but because she truly displays the leadership quality of caring for people first. I've watched her do the right thing for her soldiers and even soldiers she wasn't assigned. She took responsibility for them because she values them. This is the type of investment we need to make in our veterans. I have a lot more to say about this topic, but I need to wrap it up, so I'll stop there for now. In some future episodes, I'll unpack the 2023 National Veteran Suicide Report from the VA, and I'll let you know what the VA is trying to do to address the problem. But let me recommend a few things to you that may be helpful if you want to help me here, too. First, download and read the report. It'll give you some helpful context, and I'll put a link in the show notes. Next, I really recommend reading Sebastian Younger's book, Tribe. He's a longtime war correspondent, and he has valuable insight, and much of what I shared with you today has come from his material. Or better yet, you can watch his TED Talks on YouTube if you're more of a listener than a reader. Finally, let me encourage you to take the next step beyond awareness. Do more than say thank you for your service to a veteran. I mean, frankly, many of us feel awkward when this is said to us. We're grateful, but it just feels weird. Take some time to hear their story. You may save a life. So as I get ready to close, I just ask you, as always, if you like this content, if it's resonating with you, will you leave a comment? Will you like and subscribe wherever it is you consume your podcasts? Or better yet, share with someone that you think would benefit from it, because we do better when we journey together. That's a wrap on this episode. Thanks for letting me join you for a part of your journey. Look, as you're striving to become a leader, remember that challenges make life interesting, but overcoming them makes it meaningful. You can succeed despite the limits. Until next time, friends.